This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, BFM 89.9. Thank you for joining us in the morning run. I'm Julian Ng, and together with me are Joyce Goh and Sharad Abdullah, guest hosting for us. And we're going to take you up to 10 a.m. with interesting discussions on the day's biggest business as well as other news. How are you guys this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're okay. It's Monday.
Yeah.
As okay as we can be, I guess, on a Monday.
For a Monday.
Restful weekend.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Joyce, we missed you last week. Did you have a good week?
Well, I had to send the kids to school. My eldest started year one, standard one.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's new school, new environment. So I thought I should take some days off just to make sure he gets settled in. He was really good, though. No tears, nothing. Everything was great. Actually, all the kids were really good. Didn't see many of them crying. Only one, two kids crying, but not a lot.
Were there tears from you?
Yes. Inside, yes. And so, yeah, just... And also my youngest... is in kindy, so I also brought him to school and all that. So I just thought I should take some time off to be with them as they start school.
Okay, sounds like a busy week. And we're also going to talk about various topics over the next hour. Can you hack your grocery bill? That's Ooh. Something interesting that we're going to talk about. What else, guys?
Well, did you guys know that CIMB, they announced that first-time moms who are their staff, they can get 6 months maternity leave. That's great. I think that's a great move.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Another step towards Scandinavian practices.
Yeah, they have an option to go for another 6 months unpaid leave after that. So net-net, you can actually spend the first year with your firstborn and not have to go to the office. I think that's a great move. So we're going to be talking about that. Yeah,
I'm sure Joyce would have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, I would actually apply but I'm not a first-time mom anymore. So, you know, but hopefully other companies follow this move. It's
Absolutely.
A great move. Yeah,
it's a great idea.
Right. And then next, we'll probably look into, you know, whether or not we should consider introducing a bill on political funding. To, you know, we're looking at preventing corruption and abuse of powers by political parties.
Okay, very important stuff. And also coming up next is whether you should become a weekday vegetarian. I'm sure this is a very controversial topic for all concerned, whether you're a vegan, a vegetarian, or even a omnivore or a carnivore. Okay, so that's coming up next. And in the meantime, this is Tush by 22 Top, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Eagle Rock by Daddy Cool. You're joining us on the morning run with me, Julian Ng, as well as Joyce Goh, and guest hosting with us, Sharad Abdullah. Now, we'd like to hear from you, so WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Also, tweet us at BFM Radio. With rising environmental concerns, many are advocating reducing meat consumption in our diets. Sureka Yadif, who's a columnist from The Star, has issued a challenge for us to be weekday vegetarians.
Yeah, I think she's from Malay Mail.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, I think this is a good question, Julian, that you have, whether or not we'll consider being a weekday vegetarian. How many of you guys are open to that?
I am. I just don't get very full eating only vegetables for a meal.
Yeah, okay. I am as well. And I've thought about it and then I've attempted to do it. I failed to do it as well.
Why did you fail?
Did you try?
I think it was just the attachment to meat. It was really difficult. You know, it's as simple as it sounds from this article, but you know, going through it, it's really not as simple.
So this raises the question for me, whether we are wired to eat meat, right? Whether we can... I know many people in the world survive by being vegetarians or even vegans. And the question is whether it's physically possible to do that.
Yeah. Well, some of them, they'll say... Well, the vegans will say yes, I guess. But also, I guess for me, I did try, but it didn't stick as well. It's tough. And you have to be really, really disciplined.
Yeah. And as you said... You know, we're wired to do that. And for a lot of those current vegetarians, it's a lifestyle for them. It's something that it's a lifestyle that's been introduced to them since they were young. And for most of us who eat meat, and you know, it's the same way. We've been introduced to meat since we were very young. We're hardwired that way. And, you know, despite all the consciousness and the awareness of how good vegetarian could be,
Yeah, exactly. And I think that there is rising awareness about the environment as well. And as we head towards some kind of environmental apocalypse, you know, the world is going to end. And, you know, most of the world pollution apparently comes from food production, as well as rising awareness about the ethical aspects, because a lot of these very concentrated, what are called CAFOs, right? Concentrated animal farming operations do not treat the animals ethically. It's very cruel. And the animals most of the time end up being sick. And we are eating actually sick animals who have to be injected with hormones, antibiotics, and the like.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
these animals, if we, you know, there's a lot of those videos now, you know, spreading awareness, especially via Netflix, even YouTube. And these videos really go deep into how animals are being treated. And I think a lot of us, if we start watching it on a regular basis,
it hits you.
Yeah. It really makes you question as to why should you go for meat.
That is true. And Sharitz, you're saying that it starts from young, some of them. I don't think so, no. I think a lot of these vegans and vegetarians, some of them, they make that conscious switch when they're older, when they're adults, and they go, okay, I think I want to eat. They make a choice to be a vegan. It's not because like when you're young, your mom makes you
absolutely
a vegan. Yeah, I think it's as they get older, then they decide.
But they feel more guilty.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
they think they make that adult conversion.
Or some people say it could be healthier. But then again, there's also this debate whether or not it could be a class issue, because whether or not people who don't earn that much can afford, you know, being a vegan or being eating this kind of...
Is it expensive to be a vegetarian or vegan?
Depends on what kind of food that you buy. Mm. But like you mentioned, like even when it comes to meats, like antibiotics and these kind of medicines, if you buy organic food, it's going to cost more.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But I think the call is also not necessarily being organic, but eating more veggies, which... I don't know. Sometimes it can be cheap, but also it doesn't necessarily eliminate all the harmful chemicals and pesticides and so on. But I guess it's to these guys, it's better than eating meat, which has got bigger concerns.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. I mean, we're speaking about animals that are being exposed to antibiotics and GMOs. At the same time, vegetables, I think they're not that protected as well. I think the sort of, you know, we've heard pesticides being used and so forth. And equally, whether or not these vegetables are really that safe. But it comes back to what Joyce was saying, whether or not this is affordable. Both I think at the moment, the only safe food that we could probably digest is those organic ones, and they are not cheap.
Actually, you don't have to eat organic, because meats are quite expensive, right? Whether they are free range or like whether they come from, you know, these concentrated farms. Just the act of switching from meat to vegetables can actually reduce your grocery bill substantially. Mm. Also, I think the other aspect about the environment is that vegetarianism or veganism promotes monocultures in crops. When you do single crops, acres and acres, thousands upon thousands of acres, it's actually quite bad for the soil and quite bad for the environment as well. But I guess this is a case of it being lesser than two evils.
But is it healthy as well? I think that's debatable, right?
It's debatable whether we can get a balanced diet from being vegetarians.
Mm. I think it's just about excess. You know, there's probably moderation. You know, we could start off with maybe twice a week or three times a week.
You're right. You're very right. Yeah. Anyway, we might be overweight for many of us. So making that switch would help a lot. Now, talking about grocery bill, we have this 2019 grocery bill challenge, and the question of whether you can hack your grocery bill. That's coming up next. BFM 89.9. That was Smooth Sailing by Leon Bridges. You're with The Morning Run with Julian Ng, Joyce Goh, as well as Sharitz Abdullah. So, guys, doing groceries, some hate it, a lot love it, many of us love it, but it can't be denied that costs are definitely going up. $600 is the weekly bill of a writer from The Star. Guys, I'm just wondering, what are your grocery practices?
Well, for me, I have not been, now that you mention it, I have not been at the supermarket for quite some time.
So who does the groceries?
No, don't get me wrong. It's not that we don't do groceries.
Oh, online.
We do. Online. Guys, come on.
Online.
It's
interesting.
It is 2019 now, you know.
It does save a lot of time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
But you can't hold the tomato and squeeze it.
Yeah, that's my issue. Like
that. So that's that. So basically, I think we started off with buying wet produce at the supermarket online. But of course, it didn't work out so well because really, there's something about just being able to look at what you're buying. But dry products, I think it's basically everything is online now.
That's a no-brainer, right? Yeah. But do you think that the cost is cheaper buying online?
Yeah, well, number one, you get to see the whole because the way it is presented, right? If you go to a shopping mall, it's just huge. You just can't compute as to what prices are. But if you were to buy it online, you have everything on the table. You get to see, you get to compare price quite easily as well. And one thing great is that I think it saves you a lot of time, number one. Number two is there are certain times when they even deliver it for free. I mean, that's...
They do. Okay.
Certain peak hours, perhaps, they would charge you, but there are times during the day where it would be... Yeah,
like promos. Yeah. Promos. Like
so
promos.
What I like about online shopping is that they tell you what's on promo and they tell you what you ordered before, so you can just repeat it. You can go back to your last order and just, I want to repeat this Baras or like this diaper brand that and it goes on sale and you can. So that's easy. So for us as well, at home, we do online if it's like big bulk items and the dry goods, right? We do that, like even like soap and...
But what about fresh produce?
Yeah, for me, I need to go down to the ground and
look at it and touch it and so on.
Make sure the lady's finger is fresh. Because, like these things you have to go... So yeah.
But what about cost? What do you guys... I mean, do you, this writer, $600 a week, right? Do you think that's reasonable? I think that's probably for a family of 3 or 4.
It depends on how many people in the household. What I found interesting was that he shared that in 2010... his weekly grocery bill was 300 ringgit. In the next 3 to 4 years, it rose to 400 ringgit. And then into 2015, it rose to 500 ringgit. And today, it's 600 ringgit. So you can see the progressive increase in his grocery bill.
Maybe it's the enlargement of the family. But I think that, you know, sometimes in our quest to really push down costs, we shop in bulk, right? You buy, we fill up the whole trolley in the supermarket and it costs like hundreds of ringgit. And we bring it home and we have no time to use these perishable fresh produce. And it end up like just defeating the entire purpose of saving costs anyway, because it just goes to waste and you can throw them out.
Yeah, this whole concept of buying bulk as well. I mean, you really have to go down back into how do you prepare your food every day? I mean, it makes sense if you were to cook the same thing every day, for an example, chicken soup for the whole week.
Cook
it bulk.
I don't mind that.
I'm like that as well. I'm quite simple with my food. It's just eat to live. But, you know, about buying, embarrassingly, I don't go to wet markets. My wife does that for me.
You don't like the smell? And
well, no. I'm the handy guy now. So we've established our roles. But I have not heard of her. Well, she has been complaining about prices going up. And that's one way for her to save money, is to go to the fresh wet market. But, I mean, if we were to compare it with the rise that has been stated in the article, I think, sounds quite excessive.
I think overall, if you're already doing groceries, it's a good sign. Kudos to you, because that means that you're eating less out and that would be a substantial savings on your monthly bill. We're going to talk about paid maternity coming up next. And in the meantime, here's Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi. Another one, Bites the Dust by Queen, BFM 89.9. You're with Julian Ng, Joyce Goh and Sharitz Abdullah on the 6 a.m. stretch of the morning run. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you have something to say to us, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've received quite a number of messages, so thank you so much for that. Keep that coming in. Now, this is something that a lot of companies are implementing. CIMB Group Holdings has announced a new benefit of 6 months paid maternity leave for their staff who become first-time mothers. And Joyce, we're looking at you because you're the only mother in this room and you love this policy, don't you?
I think it's great, definitely great, especially for first-time moms. You know, when you first become a mom, I think it's for me, I remember it was a big shock. You know, what you read online, what you read the books, no matter how much you read, it's not going to prepare you until the moment comes and you become a mom. And that's when things change, and that's where you just have to step up and become a mom. And for CIMB to do this 6 months for first-time mothers is good. And they actually have another 6 months. You have the option to take 6 months non-paid and on top of that.
So you and keep your job, right?
Yeah. So you have at least, I think, a year with your firstborn. That's great. And you actually can, they have this option where you can bring forward the 6 months maternity leave early as 30 days. So before you deliver, you can actually take time to prep and all that. So I think it's a great move forward. And we were doing some research on this, and there are other companies in Malaysia that has this. DG is one of them. They have a 6 months maternity leave. I think it's good. It's definitely good. And other companies should consider.
Yeah, but I think this is also following the news last week that Maybank has announced, I mean, unrelated to maternity and childbirth, about other benefits, which were very, very nice for Maybank staff, right, last week.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking about costs, you were saying, you know, having children for the first year and these days with rising childcare costs and as a start off, and we're also talking about safety as well. I mean, having a parent to care for your children the first 6 months when they're very small and vulnerable, giving that time with mothers and children, I think that's very important. Mm. I mean, it pains me to read those news when mothers had to give away their children to childcare services, daycare, at the age of even 2 months or 3 months. I mean, I still remember when my kid was about 3 months. I mean, they're tiny and they're so fragile.
Exactly. And why do you think that this is a growing trend? Because, you know, we've heard of all sorts of discrimination on mothers, whether it's first time or, you know, second or third pregnancies. They don't get their bonuses. They don't get their promotions and rises whenever they give birth. But now society is changing. What do you think is driving this?
Well, I think it's basically competition. I mean, especially talents are scarce. Corporations are going really hard out to try and entice as much talent as they could. And we're not talking about just the ladies here, even the men. They're even offering perks for the men as well. I think
Paternity leave as well.
They've extended it to a month.
That would be nice.
Yeah, so I think a lot of companies right now, they're looking at giving these kind of non-monetary initiatives and perks, you know, where you have flexible working times and all that. I think that's the new way forward, and it's good. Not just for working parents. I think even some adults, they want to take time off to do their own thing or take time off to take care of their parents, their older parents. I think this is good. It is definitely the way forward.
Yeah, I think we are also taking example of some of the more advanced democracies in the world. You know, the Scandinavians are famous for their benefits and for their protection of the citizens. So this is something that is very good that we should emulate, actually.
Yeah, and I think one thing we should really highlight here is how good this is for mental health. Mm. I've seen some parents and how tough it is, especially when you give birth. You said it was tough for you, Joyce. And
And
we've heard about postnatal depression and all those things.
I had baby blues. I remember crying for my first child, the first month in, always in tears, not knowing what's happening. I remember asking my husband, what's wrong with me? Why am I crying? I don't know why. Mm. And the midwife came and she told me, you know, actually, I think you're going through some baby blues. And you know, it's something that I think we should have more conversations about this as well, postnatal depression, baby blues, so that, you know, people are aware that this is real and, you know, go seek help.
Yeah, and I think this is also a win-win situation. I mean, it's pretty good for business, actually, because when you have a healthy family, you have your happy staff, and that's good for the business and for the economy. And hopefully they will expand the range of benefits that are available to employees. For example, you know, if you're sick, I mean, we've spoken about this before, if you're sick, why is there a need to get MC, right?
Yeah, that was whether you should have a sickie, and then, or maybe, do you need to go see the doctor, or if you're not feeling well, maybe call in, say you'll have a sickie, what people have in Australia.
Exactly.
But they take that off your MC quota.
Which is how many days a year?
It depends on the company. Mm. Yep. It depends on
maybe,
the company.
Maybe 14, like 14 days. That's,
is it 14?
I mean, that's even 21.
Comfortable. That's comfortable. 25. That's enough to tie you over for like World Cup finals and things like that.
You're thinking we're here 4 years time, Julian. Yes.
I think annual leave also needs to be expanded, because I think that the legal minimum is 7 days a year, and some companies, like the Chinaman ones, are
they
still...
They keep it to the legal minimum?
Yeah, they're still sticking to that, apparently.
Well, I guess like Sharit says, you know, as in this day and age when everyone is competing for talent, why not? If a company is not giving good perks enough, go look for a new one. In
Absolutely.
A way, you know, I think it drives. But and I think, Julian, you were asking why are more companies giving more maternity leave right nowadays? Is because a lot of moms, working moms, I think sometimes you have no choice but to quit the working world or maybe look for a new job because your current job, it doesn't support your family in a way that, and you know, and there's so many things that working parents have to juggle. I'm not just saying working moms, working dads as well. There's a lot of things that they have to juggle. So eventually there comes a time that if the company is not giving you that perk or that initiative, or they're not supporting you, then go find another one. There are lots out there.
Very much in line with the rising digital economy as well, where a lot of people are working from home and they're using a freelance arrangement for many of us. All right, we'll be back with more stories, including reading some of your responses to what we have been talking about this morning. Stay tuned with us, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Superfly by Curtis Mayfield. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this early in the day. You're with Julian Ng, Joyce Goh, as well as Sharit Abdullah. And we've been talking about grocery bills and diets. And Sharit, you gave us a very interesting anecdote about your young life, that you used to pick up grasshoppers from outside.
We were not supposed to
from
share
eating that. and eating that. I think that's not a bad trend to follow as well. A lot of people are resorting to eating insects and bugs because they're more nutrient dense and they're less environmentally harmful. Thanks so much for writing in to us. Shi Xian Li says that more and better vegetarian offerings at eateries these days. Samuel Tan, very witty here. I won't give up meat. I practice a balanced diet. There you go.
And we also got a WhatsApp from Ravi Kumar. Thanks for that. And he said that he's been traveling for work for some time, and him and his wife had decided to be a pescatarian and moving to being a vegetarian this year. With his two uni going kids have been
vegans
for the last 2 years, and it's all in the mind and requires a lot of discipline. So discipline's key.
Actually, I'm not sure whether pescatarianism is the gateway to veganism or vegetarianism, but I usually can't understand just eating fish, whether that's better for the diet or the environment, because I hear a lot of like bad things for fish as well because of the environment, the pollution that are in our oceans, and there are a lot of farmed fish as well. So it's not healthy eating too much farmed fish. But, you know, I'm not knocking it. I'm just wondering, you know, thinking aloud.
Well, we also have a WhatsApp from Mr. Tan. He says, it's the overpopulation that's leaving the earth insufficient time to recover from our exploits. Stephen Chulula says, in his family of four, their total marketing and grocery bill is about 800 ringgit a month.
My, that's amazing.
And he said he thinks this person, who is the writer at The Star, has a grocery bill of 600 weekly, has a family who is adjusting eating. And he says that, you know, we should eat meals on a regular basis, just enough, not gobble away.
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a comment also from another of our producers that we are overeating. Today, we live in a society where there is a very serious problem of food addiction, right? We're just addicted to so many things. Like we got this other tweet from, you know, the chocolate one. Where was it?
Hannah
right?
says, yeah, you need to do away with luxuries like chocolates,
vitagen. I mean, who in the right mind can
chips?
Give up chocolates, right? But Hannah, again, I'm not dissing you, because you said something else that's very important as well. Cheaper vegetarian meals. Currently, pure vegetarian meals are quite expensive. Mm. And that's
surprising.
That's the truth, right?
Mm. That is surprising. I mean, I used to remember going to the Banana Leaf. The vegetarian meals are
usually... Of course, Banana Leaf is expensive.
No, but my point is the vegetarian meals are the cheap options if you, in comparison to going for the one with the meats. You know?
We also have PY who says humans are omnivores, not herbivores. Maybe less meat, more veggie sounds more reasonable.
And Hiswani Hassan, you can look at what Denmark does for maternity, paternity leave. There are 52 weeks shared between the parents and 13 weeks can be deferred to the child's age of 9.
And he great.
Yeah, he also said he read about a parent in Denmark that took their child for a round-the-world trip when the child was 8 or so using deferred joint paternity leave, diversity education for the child. I'm not sure whether this is something that we can afford in Malaysia, traveling around the world. Many people would view that as a kind of luxury, but it also can be viewed as a kind of learning for not only for the child, but for the family.
You could backpack. And I think this is a great option when it comes to talent retainment, because he says that you have the option to defer the paternity leave when the child is 9. So that means you'll stay with the company for the next 9 years eventually, right? So actually it's great. And also you get to take the child, spend some time with the child when the child is older, not just when the child is a baby.
Yep, very good stuff. Keep all your messages coming in. And we're coming up to the 7 a.m. news. And later on, we'll be talking about political funding bill. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.